Seneca's Epistles to Lucilius, Epistle 2, On Study and True Riches. I am happy, Lucilius, in conceiving great hopes for you, both from what you write and from what I hear of you. It seems you are no wanderer, nor apt to disquiet yourself in vain with change of place, a restlessness which generally springs from some malady in the mind. The chief testimony, I apprehend, of a mind truly calm and composed, is that it is confident with and can enjoy itself, without seeking distractions outside itself. Be pleased, likewise, to consider that the reading of too many authors and books of all sorts, without discrimination, betrays a vague and unsteady disposition. You should attach yourself to some good books in particular, and thoroughly digest what you read, if you would build the principles of wisdom in your mind, which you can put to use to live your life virtuously. But he that is everywhere is nowhere. They who spend their time in traveling superficially meet many hosts, but make few good friends. This is similarly the case of those who do not focus diligent effort on mastering a few good books, but rather run over every book without discrimination, cursorily and in haste. Food does not nourish the body unless it abides in the body for some time to enable digestion. Nothing so much prevents the recovery of health as a frequent change of supposed remedies. A wound is not soon healed when different salves are tried by way of experiment. A plant thrives not, nor can well take root, that is moved from place to place. Reading too many books cursorily and in haste can benefit the mind only accidentally, in passing, and is of limited use. Reading too wide a variety of books and too high a quantity of books distracts the mind. When you cannot read, therefore, all that you have, it is enough to have only what you can read. But, you will say, you have a mind sometimes to amuse yourself with one book and then sometimes with another. It is a sign, my friend, of an oversensitive and squeamish stomach to be tasting many viands, which, as they are various and of different qualities, rather corrupt than nourish. Read, therefore, always the most approved authors, and if you are pleased at any time to taste others by way of amusement, still return to those approved authors as your principal study. And when you read, mind these books for the treasures they contain, principles of wisdom to arm you against poverty and against the fear of death and other like evils incident to human life. And when you have read sufficiently for a day, choose one principle to reflect upon for that day's meditation. Such is my own practice. Of the many things I read, I generally select one for closer reflection. For instance, today I have been reading Epicurus, for you must know I sometimes make an excursion into the enemy's camp, not by way of a deserter, but as a spy. Epicurus says, cheerful poverty is an excellent thing. Now, I cannot conceive how that state can be called poor, which is cheerful. The man whose poverty sits easy upon him is rich. Not he that hath little, but he that desireth more is the poor man. For what avails it how much a man hath in his chest or in his barns, what stock he has in the field, or what money at interest, if he is still hankering after another's wealth, if he is ever counting not what he has got already, but what he may yet get? do you ask me what I take to be the proper balance of wealth? I will tell you. First, enough to supply the necessaries of life. And second, enough to live virtuously. Farewell.